Greetings. You are listening to the Northeast Ohio AFSC Weekly Audio Podcast. I'm Greg Coleridge. It is Friday, March the 11th. Thanks so much for listening. We hope to inform you about issues you feel are important, update you about past and upcoming AFSC plans and activities, and inspire you to take action. It is, after all, grassroots social movements made up of well-informed, prepared, and motivated people that always create real change. Well, we begin this week, as we do every, with a report of some activities we were involved in from last week. And that began last Saturday with our participation in the latest meeting of what is now being called the People's Peace and Justice Convention, which is to take place the 3 days before the Republican National Convention convenes in Cleveland. The People's Peace and Justice Convention will be from Friday, July 15, through Sunday, July 17. We continue discussing how we want this thing to be organized, who we want to attend, how we want to ultimately develop what will be a people's platform that we will be presenting in some form at and to the RNC, as well as the Democratic National Convention, which takes place a week later in Philadelphia. A very good meeting, very energetic, divided up into small groups, and making some headway. Next meeting is coming up in a few weeks, which we will mention in the next week or so. Monday was the latest meeting of the group that is planning what is being called a march and rally, entitled End Poverty Now, March for Economic Justice. And this event is scheduled to take place on the afternoon of the first day of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, that being Monday, July 18th. The plans are in the works. In fact, we are among the very first, if not the very first, from what we were told at the meeting on Monday, to actually submit a proposal, an actual permit application to the city of Cleveland to have any kind of march and rally, street protest in connection with the RNC. So we'll see how the powers to be in the city of Cleveland, but as well the Secret Service and the other national security apparatus that actually takes over decision-making from the police here in the Cleveland area when you have something like a national political convention come to your town. So anyway, that permit has been submitted, and we'll see. But plans are anyway to have a march that begins from somewhere on the east side of Cleveland and ending as close as we can get to the Q, which is where the RNC will commence, beginning on Monday the 18th. Later in the evening on Monday was the latest monthly gathering of the Cleveland Move to Amend group, the March Action Planning Meeting. A good part of that meeting was spent planning for next week's Democratic and Republican primary election, which is taking place on March 15th, figuring out where we need to be and how to get people at various polling places in Cleveland to collect signatures. But there was also some discussion about the upcoming visit next month of David Cobb, National Outreach Director of Move to Amend, who will be in Northeast Ohio, and I will be making mention of that here in the next week or two. He is coming in along with George Lisa Friday to speak at the statewide Move to Amend gathering in Columbus, but then both of them will be traveling in different places around the state, and both George and David will be in Akron, Cleveland, and Kent. Well, George, anyway, will only be in Akron, but David will be in all three of those communities, and details of which we will share in the next week or two. So, turning now to events coming up next week that all of you are invited to attend, and hopefully you will. The first is tomorrow, Saturday, March 12th, in Akron at the Summit Art Space, 140 East Market Street, is the Bigger Than Ever Big Love Festival, a gathering where people come together to share and discuss and experience the arts in all of their forms and community in all of their forms, and really express love in the cultural dimensions in all of their forms in this one space from 11 a.m. to about 10 p.m. Well, the Radio Free Akron organization, of which I am a part and on the board of, will be having a table at Big Love Fest from 2 to 8 p.m. And I'm not quite sure where that table will be, but anyway, come seek us out if you are there and wish to participate in what will be an interactive experience at the Radio Free Akron table. So from 2 to 8, we will have tape recorders and mics for individuals to record radio station promos and do interviews to be later aired when we're up and running. So bring your radio voice, and if you so choose, you can have an opportunity to record something to the effect of, "Hi, I am whatever your name is, and I listen to Radio Free Akron, 96.9 FM, WMVU, we are many voices united." We have many different versions, variations, truncations of that, and many other opportunities. We're also hoping to attract music groups who will sit down and interview one another, the members of, which again, that we will air when we are up and running, and we hope to be on the air, at least streaming on the internet within the next month or two. More about that later. Monday, the 14th of next week, is a major march and rally in the quest for raising the minimum wage in the city of Cleveland to $15 an hour. So the Fight for 15 march and rally will take place beginning at 4 p.m. at the offices of the regional SEIU, Service Employees International Union, which is located in Cleveland at 1771 East 30th. You may want to try to get there a little early, but it's going to be a grand affair. SEIU is bringing people in from all over the near tri-state area, people coming down from Michigan, up from Kentucky, over, I think, from Indiana. They hope to have 1,000 people or so, and we're hopefully looking to complement that with as big a turnout as possible locally. So join us 4 p.m. Monday. This is on the eve of primary election day. Who knows, there may be a presidential candidate in town, and if so, we will divert at least some of us to wherever that person is, be him or her Democrat or Republican, somewhere in the Cleveland area. Join us March 14th, Monday, 4 p.m. at 1771 East 30th. That's where we will have a gathering. There'll be a short rally, then a march that ends, I believe, at the Board of Elections in closer to downtown Cleveland. Tuesday is primary election day. Polls open at 6:30 a.m. and close at 7:30 p.m. So do vote if you already have not. However, after you vote, please join us. If you live, or you don't even have to live, but are anywhere near Cleveland, Shaker Heights, or South Euclid, they will be petitioning in support of trying to gather sufficient signatures on an initiative to get on the ballots in all those communities. A national Move to Amend petition initiative calling for a constitutional amendment to end unalienable rights for corporations and ending the constitutional doctrine that money is equivalent to free speech. So you don't have to be a resident of Cleveland, Shaker Heights, or South Euclid to circulate, just a willingness to help out. If interested, we can assign you, get to you a petition, and assign you a polling place, even for an hour. That would be just grand. If interested, give our office a call, 330-928-2301, 330-928-2301. We have people who are assigned to different wards in Cleveland, but there's also efforts underway to get people at polling places in the other communities as well. Wednesday, March 16th, is the monthly conference call statewide of the Move to Amend Ohio Network. We will continue discussing our upcoming statewide gathering on April 2nd in Columbus, and give an update about the effort to introduce a move to amend resolution in the Ohio House of Representatives, which we hope will happen in the not-too-distant future. Thursday is the last what has been a three-quarters of a year-long study series called Creating Social Change, Study Series on Racism, Oppression, and Self-Determination in Akron at the WOMB, which stands for Way of Mind and Body, which is located at 915 East Market Street. This begins at 5:30 with a potluck. The study series begins at 6 p.m. We will be concluding our study session in March, focusing on what we have learned and what we need to do to bring about fundamental social change where we are, in whatever circles and with whatever and with whatever groups we are a part of. So we'll be going over a couple of different resources. If interested, give our office a call, and we can put you in touch with those readings and background materials. Or you can just directly email creatingsocialchange2015@gmail.com. We have it 2015 since that's when the study series began. So again, if you'd like to get links to the readings that we will be discussing and reflecting upon next Thursday, you can call our office, 330-928-2301, or email creatingsocialchange2015@gmail.com. Finally, next Friday evening, the 18th, we'll mention this again next week, but may want to mark it down, we are showing, along with the WOMB and the Akron Organizing Collaborative at the WOMB, again, 915 East Market Street in Akron, the film Shadows of Liberty. It is an internationally acclaimed documentary uncovering the truth about the corporate-owned media. Interviews of a number of people you will recognize, including Amy Goodman and Noam Chomsky and so many other people who have been involved in trying to peel back how the mainstream, so-called mainstream media, but actually corporate media, six of which major corporations really dominate about 90% of the electronic media in our country. We'll be looking at that and having a discussion about just trying to understand, making sure we're aware of how it works, how when things are projected, and certainly, oh my goodness, we have seen the impact of the corporate media in trying to shape the message and push things toward and away from certain people and issues and ideas in this presidential election campaign. My goodness, there has been a plethora of examples that I'm sure we will get into at this video showing. Anyway, it begins at 7:30, Friday, March 18th at the WOMB, 915 East Market Street, the film showing of Shadows of Liberty. Join us. Well, now we turn, as we do every week, with to some brief comments on topics from this past week. And we're just basically only going to focus on two issues, two articles that appeared in the press this week, one local, one national, but that connects to one another in a way and certainly connects to issues that we work on and are working on. The first is this week from Cleveland.com. Many of you may have seen it if you are in the Cleveland area and follow the news in Cleveland and read The Plain Dealer or follow news on Cleveland.com. From the March 3rd edition was an article about Cleveland seeking to buy riot gear for the Republican National Convention. Cleveland is seeking to buy 2,000 sets of riot gear, including, as the article identified, including riot control suits and collapsible batons as part of a $50 million federal security grant that the city of Cleveland has received for July's Republican National Convention. The city has also sought to rent about 3 miles worth of interlocking steel barriers, each 3.5 feet high, and buy another 3,250 feet worth of interlocking barriers, 6.5 feet high, for the RNC for crowd control. Well, that kind of steel barriers, certainly any cows and pigs and chickens would find quite appropriate and could relate to, I'm sure, and keeping them in pens outside where people want those animals to be. And that certainly seems to be what is the purpose of such interlocking steel barriers of that height, to sort of keep us citizens who will be in Cleveland to share our views about issues being addressed or not addressed by the Republicans at the RNC, penned in and kept in a certain place that would be certainly under close scrutiny and observation by the police in their riot gear. All of this is part of the Cleveland security plan that also consists of organizing a police force, as the article says, of 5,000 officers, which will be supplemented or complemented with officers from surrounding suburbs and elsewhere that the city is in the process of recruiting to bolster its existing police force. Because the RNC has been designated a national security special event, it is eligible to receive such federal funding, this $50 million. The Cleveland city plans to spend roughly $30 million of which on personnel and $20 million on equipment. So that's really the story as presented this past week in the press. So what should we take away from all of this at this point, 4 months still removed from the convention? Well, obviously, the city needs to prepare for every circumstance in connection to those who are expected to attend the RNC in July, and that, sadly, does need to include the worst-case scenario, which would be riots. But where is the energy and money that needs to be asked when reading that article from this past week's Cleveland.com website? Where exactly is the energy and money from the city being invested to prevent this worst-case scenario? Where's the outreach by the city to the community? Where's the ongoing and sincere effort to meet with those in the community, neighborhood leaders, the peace and justice community, to try to ensure that the planned public protests respect the rights of protesters while ensuring public safety? As it is, the only message coming from the city at this point is that the many so-called visitors coming to Cleveland, many of them are actually hooligans, intent to cause damage and destruction. Their message is, it's us versus them. It's us, the power elite, and those who are going to be inside the RNC venues versus all of us, the rabble-rousers, who are indelibly and inevitably protesting and intent on causing violence, property destruction, harm, damage, you name it. Of course, like everything else increasingly in society, it's much more profitable to gear up than to meet up. Transforming police officers into armed soldiers has become big business in this country and certainly around the world and certainly in other communities around this country. And it's growing. The anti-riot corporate industry is booming. Working with the community, however, to transform police officers into peace officers, communicating and seeking collaborations just simply isn't profitable. The current economic and political systems and cultural mindset are decreasingly focused on people than it is on profits. Protecting property is becoming more important than protecting the rights of people. Looking at people coming into Cleveland through the lens as potential rioters and looters and hooligans rather than simply concerned citizens who have been increasingly shut out of conventional Democratic channels and want to come to Cleveland to the RNC to try to have their voices for a change heard on the streets of Cleveland is extremely disturbing. That the police and the powers to be are seeing the incoming people and those who are already in this community, who will be on the streets, as simply those who are trying to use and express their democratic rights to express their concerns and to express their outrage and passions and anger and protest in such a way, who we have a right to do, not seeing that as simply a right to do, but seeing that as a potential lethal danger, is very disturbing. People want to have a voice. The reality is that when you shut off people from having an authentic role in selecting representatives and defining laws and regulations, which has been happening increasingly in our society as other legitimate channels have been shut out and shut off from people, those of us who don't have money, who aren't hiring lobbyists, who aren't getting in and cozying up to regulators, to elected officials, to rulemakers, to Supreme Court justices and the like. When you shut off all of those channels, well, then people are going to look to other arenas, like street protests, which are themselves still very legitimate, but nevertheless are not inside buildings, in the suites, in city halls, in chambers of where regulatory decisions are being made. We're being pushed outside. Rather than being in the suites, we're relegated to being on the streets, which still are very legitimate and need to be seen in that way, as legitimate avenues, as legitimate arenas, as legitimate places and spaces to voice our concerns for or against policies, regulations, and rules. But when you shut people out from being inside, from having their voices authentically heard in that way, well, then it's inevitable that people are going to be coming out in force with forceful messages and doing so, communicating with passion and energy. To the degree that the power structure interprets all of this as inherently threatening versus simply seeing it as places where people are still able to express their views is extremely disheartening and disturbing. It certainly isn't too late to work with, and we're going to try and will over the next 4 months to try to shift the debate at least somewhat and the mindset and the culture to help those in authority and certainly the police structure and the power structure and the police authority, both in Cleveland and those who will be running the show in Washington, coming in as they do from the national security state, including the Secret Service, as respecting the rights of people to protest. We'll see how it goes, but certainly we will at some point be calling on all of you. In fact, it's not too early. Please, right now, call if you are a member and citizen and resident of Cleveland. Call your city council person. Speak up to the need to balance developing in a very violent and intimidating way prior to the RNC with expending energy, expending resources, expending time to reach out and working collaboratively with the peace and justice community and others in neighborhoods in Cleveland to see what can be done jointly to respect the rights of those who will be in the streets to share their voice and to share their message and to communicate their needs and to communicate their concerns. Do that. Call your city council people. Call the mayor's office. Do what you can to share that message. Well, the second and only other thing we want to comment on this week was a piece that appeared on Truthout, an op-ed by a guy, very insightful, economic commentator named Jack Rasmus, who broke down the 26 U.S. presidential elections by money being contributed or invested, coming directly to either their campaigns or indirectly through all of these light, so to speak, and dark money sources, these independent so-called groups that are spending money attacking the other guy or the other gal, as the case may be. The article that appeared on Truthout was entitled Money in the 2016 U.S. Presidential Elections, the $10 billion contest. And Rasmus goes on, I'll just read the first really two paragraphs of this. He says, as the U.S. election cycle began to ramp up last summer, for example, the New York Times NBC News poll showed no less than 84% of U.S. voters, Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike, shared the common view that there was simply too much money flooding into U.S. elections today, while 85% of those in the poll further indicated that either major changes or a complete rebuild, quote-unquote, of the U.S. election system was needed to take money out of politics. Forget minor tweaking reforms of campaign financing. The people of the U.S. now believe the entire process is rigged in favor of rich contributors and corporations who fill to overflowing the campaign coffers of their chosen politicians. Unquote. Well, the piece then goes on and breaks down the money received by all the major presidential candidates, talks about how the midterm elections in 2014, it's estimated that almost $3.8 billion was spent cumulatively on those, and it's estimated that $5 billion was spent on the campaigns, presidential and congressional, last year, 2015, and that the total 2015-2016 campaign season is likely, when all the dollars are counted, to be in the 10 to 15. I know it's a great huge range, but nevertheless, it's unknown at this point, but estimated to be $10 to $15 billion in that range when all the numbers are in. However, the actual totals will have to wait until June 30th of 2017, since by then, and not even then, will we know all the dark money that will come into the system. Only that which is reported, and some of which really doesn't have to be reported. So the question is, you know, after you read this article and run through the list, and there's some really good examples of the pay-to-play of what Rubio and Clinton and Cruz have given or promised in exchange for the money that they've received, both as candidates when they were in office and now that they are running for the president. And talks about, of course, Trump's own money, but he also has received $17 million from contributions on his campaign websites, collectively. But when you look at that, you know, the questions need to be asked: whose voices are heard when all of this money is being spent? Whose needs are met? Whose interests are being served? And what direction is all of this headed? Is it headed toward greater, quote-unquote, democracy, or whatever you want to call it? If that word is uncomfortable to you, self-governance, self-determination, sovereignty, a right to decide, whatever. Are we headed toward those things with each and every election at the presidential level? And certainly we're going to see this money, huge amounts being spent at the congressional as well, more than ever before. And certainly that $10 to $15 billion encompasses congressional races as well. Is this headed toward greater self-governance and right to decide and self-determination or democracy, as well as greater confidence and trust in our political system? Or is it headed in the direction of less? We are living through, I believe, an epic political crisis, unlike anything, at least in our lifetimes, which is being reflected, if you think about it, and you don't have to look too far to realize that this is being reflected in the success of the candidates who are defining themselves, at the presidential level anyway, as outsiders and not part of the political, quote-unquote, establishment. However, maybe this political crisis is more than simply the greatest in our lifetime. It may, when we hopefully at some point in the future are able to look back at this, we'll realize that maybe it was the most profound up to this point in the history of our country, given that it now intersects with a growing, profound economic and political, or I should say economic and financial systems crisis, in which more growth, realizing, and it's coming to the realization that more growth isn't the answer, as well as the intersection of this political crisis with a catastrophic ecological crisis that has already begun. Old ways of acting are resulting in diminishing returns. Old ways of thinking and proposing solutions simply are not resonating. People are starting to get it, are becoming more and more aware that how things are constructed, what ways and solutions people are suggesting, simply is not going to cut it. The solutions required for greater justice, peace, and sustainability go well beyond, many people are increasingly coming to realize, minor reforms or tweaks. These collective crises are also opportunities for fundamentally different ways of imagining, thinking, and creating how we relate to one another and the other biological organisms we share the planet with. What a time we live in. Our small piece at AFSC of imagining, thinking, and working for real change in Northeast Ohio and statewide involves rejecting outright the current political givens, the limited and shrinking activist boxes that we've been placed in as the rights of the wealthy few and corporate entities have expanded. We believe that we have to remove the impediments to authentic political and economic self-determination, ending unalienable constitutional rights and the doctrine that money is speech. The We the People Amendment of Move to Amend is what we believe absolutely are essential steps, challenges, and opportunities. Yet even they are only but steps. There are others that need to be worked on, but, you know, you can only do so much at any one time. We do it what we can, where we are, at the moment, with what we have, and have done so over the last couple of years in this direction, on this track, with your help. And we are grateful for all of it, in every form, over the last couple of years, and hopefully in the days, months, and years ahead that we continue to work with an ever-increasing number of people that are getting it, that are understanding that simply tweaking and simply band-aids and simply minor reforms on changing our political system as well as our economic system, as well as reorienting our culture and our lives in more ecological, sustainable ways is really the only long-term direction to think, imagine, and work toward. That's all for this week. Keep up with our activities. Contact us with questions, concerns, or willingness to help out. Our website is afsc.org/Akron. Facebook page is facebook.com/NEOAFSC. Our program blog is northeastohioafsc.wordpress.com. My blog, createrealdemocracy.wordpress.com. Until next week, onward for justice, peace, and democracy.